It's the Duffin Up Podcast.
What is going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It is Tuesday, June 22nd, and welcome to an all-new episode of the Duffin Up Podcast. I am your host, Brendan Monroe, joined by my two co-hosts, as always, the one, the only, Michael Adams, up in the left-hand corner because he was on time this week. Very impressive. Mike, how are you doing today?
Pumped, Brendan. What a week in golf. We're going to dive right into it. Let's get after it. Timmy, I know you got some awesome news to share. Boy, we're really riding here, and I got to take back my hate on Jon Rahm. What a win. What a freaking win.
Oh, man, this crow is about to be beautiful. But before we get into that, as always, last but certainly not least, our co-host down in the center tonight. This is a first for him as he is usually up in the top left. So this will be impressive. The Irish Chooch himself, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I am doing just dandy. We have the U.S. Open recap that I cannot wait to get into, as Mike said, to dive right in. And we also have a tournament coming up that kind of we hold near and dear to our hearts coming up this weekend. So get ready to talk about that just a tad. But we have so much to talk about the U.S. Open. A lot to unpack. So let's do it. 3, 2, 1. Bada bing.
Boom. And here we go. No, absolutely. We will definitely be talking about the Travelers, as we had one former employee of the Travelers Championship on our podcast. We're just going to put that out there.
Intern or team bitch.
But you can get us the inside scoop that most don't know about.
Oh, no. Great time. Jon Rahm, unreal putts. Unreal. 17 and 18. Back to back. Just you can't not just be totally overwhelmed with his length of made putts and clutch moments, and they're usually left to right and got a killer amount of break. Unbelievable victory for Johnny.
I will say, Mike, how does this beautiful, beautiful black crow taste in your mouth right now? You are the me version for Jon Rahm as I am to Bryson. You are the only hate. Well, not the only hater. Bryson has a lot of hater, but you were the number one Jon Rahm hater going into this week, as me and Timbo Slice are talking about how much we want Jon Rahm to win. He loves Torrey Pines. He proposed to his wife there. It looks
his
exactly
first win
like
was there.
His first win at the Farmers Insurance there. If you look at the cliffs, they look exactly like his hometown in Barrica, Spain. And we are talking about how this is just lining up to be Jon Rahm. And you come in, I hate that guy, Jon Rahm.
I will say he's come around on me. And I'll tell you why. I mean, he, in that interview afterwards, he teared up, right? He got emotional. You could tell that he was human. He let all of his just hard work and all those emotions fill him up to almost tears. They were very close, or maybe trickling down one or two. Gave Seve a huge shout out. Said this was for Seve Ballesteros, another Spaniard who never got it done in the U.S. Open, but just saw all his emotions come out, was happy for him. I really never rooted against him, meaning I never like wanted to see him do badly. I just did not want to see him win, because I did not think that he was just a little bit over the top, maybe a little too rah-rah, tough guy, like gets mad, shows his emotions in a bad light. And maybe that rubbed me the wrong way. And maybe I gave him some shit for playing after his kid was born. But that's all good and well. I am totally happy he won. Look out, because this could be many more to come. He is clutch. He is a very freaking good golfer. And if you try and emulate his swing, you'll break your back.
Jesus, I couldn't agree more. When Brendan was talking about like just all the factors that were in his favor, you know, Torrey Pines, it just looks like his country. It's all this. I mean, the stars and moon aligned in his favor this weekend. He was the favorite, and usually in a golf tournament, there's 156 in this particular field, and the best player, the one who was favored, he won, and it doesn't happen often in golf, but he won. I wish I picked him in my fantasy, that's for sure. But it seems like it almost seems like a too good to be true kind of scenario, and I mean, he won. I mean, those last two putts, I mean, jeepers crow. Have we seen better fist bumps since Tiger? I don't know. And they
The energy. He brings the energy like that. That's cool.
We had not seen better fist pumps since John Rahm at the BMW last year when he hit that 66-foot putt and nuts. Went absolutely insane. I mean, none of those putts were like that putt, but I'll tell you what, man, everyone – I mean, we'll get into the meltdowns because – It was watching meltdown porn on, like, we can say that, right? We're not
leaderboard was stacked. That leaderboard was stacked. You looked at that and you're like, this has got the makings to be something special. And then Rahm wins it again. Noontime. He's eating lunch. He freaking walks in and wins it. Right, Tim? Like he finished what? Four groups ahead. Was it three, Brendan? Four?
He was the third group. Yes. He was the third last group.
Yeah, the last group finishes and then just sits and waits and watches and wins it. I mean, choke jobs all around.
I mean, it was a great leaderboard when the last group was on like the 15th hole. And then we were like looking at the leaderboard. We have just stack. We have Rory. We have, you know, everyone. We have just everybody. It's like an all-star team. It's what we want to see in the U.S. Open. And then all of a sudden, just like Mike said, just absolutely dropped off the face of the earth with doubles and blah, 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 blah. But yep. But at the end, it was, they even showed the leaderboard when it was just the last couple holes. They only showed two names on that leaderboard because everyone else was pretty much out of it. The next best was Harris English and he was at minus three.
Well, right. We'll get to Harris English. We'll get there. Don't you worry. But it was, and we're going to get into the meltdowns. The meltdowns were beautiful. The meltdowns warmed my heart. They made me think, oh, it brought back like to legitimate 2006 Wingfoot when everyone was just like, I don't want to win this tournament. I don't really want to win. Like, except for John, because Rahm was the only one who like did this, saw it, and was like, you know, I'm going to go get it.
Everybody.
Those two beautiful putts. Mikey, please come in.
Everybody played almost like just scared and just didn't really dial in. Rahm, again, was the third to last group, so he finishes up. And on those last two holes, he was dialed in. And he hit a couple, I forget, on the 17th or no, 18th. He one putted that green. I mean, so he missed the green in regulation.
He was bunker.
Sand trap, yeah. And hit it and played a safe shot.
It wasn't
a
good sand trap out. It was not good.
It wasn't good, but he gave himself a shot at it. Like he didn't want to put it in the water and risk like just taking his name out of it. He honestly didn't even, he needed a two putt that to win, you know, like he won by two strokes over.
He won by one.
Was it one? Louis?
Yeah, just because Louis hit the birdie putt.
Louis hit that. Oh, he would have missed.
You know that if Louis, you know that Louis, you know that if that was a one shot, no chance Louis hits.
No chance. Talk about another choke job in 2021 for Louis Oosthuizen. I mean, another one. You root for the guy. You love the guy. You love his swing. He's terrific. You listen to people talk about Louis. He's a great follow on the course. He like engages. He's singing Adele in airplanes. Like he's so carefree. People talk about him. Like if he cared like 3% more, he'd be major winner all over the place. Maybe he doesn't care enough. I don't know. He doesn't really let on to that, but Oosthuizen and another McIlroy. I mean, you guys want to break McIlroy. Another one. Where are you?
I know it was a crazy Sunday. I mean, but looking at it, like I'm super happy and we're going to get into everyone else, but I do want to make it about John Rahm right now, because like, think about what he went through at Memorial. Think about going into that with a 6-shot lead, Patrick Cantlay basically saying at the end of the tournament, like there's no chance I would, you know what I mean? Like Cantlay and Morikawa basically both saying like, probably wouldn't have won this if John was still playing, and having to withdraw, not being able to see his family, for, you know, a couple weeks, not being able to be there. And he even said in the post game, or not the post game, the post golf, like, I guess post game, post golf, post round,
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll go post round.
I like post game.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a post game interview, but you know, the post round interview, and you know, when he won, he even said, like, I wasn't there when my parents met my son because I was still in the COVID protocol and I was still quarantining. And you sit there and you're just like, gee, you know what I mean? You just sit, you know, you That's listen to thing. Everything.
That's another thing I've come around on. Like, he and Timmy, you referred to this last week. He handled this situation beautifully. Like, he was told by the PGA officials on the 18th green of a tournament, you're winning by 6 shots. You're going to make a couple million bucks, go home real happy. You get told COVID, go home. See you later. Lock up. Maybe, hopefully you can get to the US Open. Now imagine that. Imagine if he didn't even, but regardless, he broke down and he was very mature and understanding, but also frustrated, but didn't, like, again, he's a guy who gets riled up. He's a guy who lets his emotions show. And if in that situation, he's responding like a mature human, and he absolutely did, you got to gain a lot of respect there. And then to have all that hit you and go in and win the next week. Again, he does talk about how San Diego, and when he touches down there, he just feels at home. He said that before he won this cup, this, what is it? What's the US Open trophy called?
Championship. It's just the US Open trophy.
Oh, that's annoying.
It's not like the Wanamaker. No, it's not like the Green Jacket.
I wanted to say Claret Jug, but that's the Open.
Oh, boy. I think the US Open trophy may have an actual name, but like no one calls it by, everyone just calls it the US Open trophy.
We just call it like Tin Tiger or something.
What's the Claret Jug? Tin. Claret Jug is what, Brennan?
The Open.
Or the Open.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you just said that it wasn't.
No, so the Wanamaker's the PGA, the Claret Jug's the Open, the green jacket, and they have that cool little like thing that, you know, DJ made look like tiny when he held it in his big ass hands in 2020, and then Matsuyama makes it look normal size because Matsuyama's a normal sized human. But they got that little one that looks kind of looks. I think it's just the Augusta clubhouse, basically.
It's not a green jacket. The green jacket is better than the trophy.
Anyway. Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, no one's like, oh, my God, that's the Masters trophy. Everyone's like, oh, that's the green jacket. But yeah, so it was really cool to see. Yeah. Just so much coming out of John Rahm winning, like, you know, being the first Spanish born player, talking about Seve and talking about like how Seve always wanted to win the US Open. Do I totally believe that? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of like, I mean, you know, you hear Greg Norman always wanted to win the Masters, but at the same time, you're like, well, you won all these other freaking championships. So like have fun with that. But, you know,
I'm sure he wanted to win the US Open. Come on.
I'm sure he did too, but I'm just saying like, it's, you know, it's just weird. But you know,
Seve did win a lot, so I guess pass
Seve won 50 times on the European tour. No one's even close to him on the European tour. He literally won every event possible on the European tour. But being able to say that, like, you know what I mean, being the first Spanish born, being the first Arizona State graduate to win a U.S. Open, they kind of took a little dig at Phil right there, which was unfortunate. Arizona,
yeah,
but and we're gonna bring it back to Phil because all of us love Phil. He's just, you know, everyone's golf dad. You know, him bringing down the chair for John Rahm's wife. So while John was kind of warming up in case of a playoff, they sat together. They were talking. But little Keppa was right there too. Like, you know,
when do they talk about their colleges, though? Like, when you're talking about major winners?
So they don't usually, but because Phil's brother, Tim Mickelson, is the head coach at Arizona State.
Okay.
And Phil was the one who said, like, when John Rahm was 19, he's like, look at, like, this guy's going to be a superstar. Like, look out. Gotcha. So that's, you know.
That whole backstory.
There is a huge backstory, and that's why Tim and John are such good friends, and that's why Tim Tim and Tim Mickelson and John are obviously friends, and Phil and John have a very good connection, and Phil and John Rahm's wife have a really good connection too. So like, you know, it does come full circle with that side, but
that's cool.
Yeah, I do think it was a little, you know, that was such a sweet moment when they're just kind of sitting there. And when John gets announced that he won, you know, his wife comes over, gives him a big kiss. And, you know, after he hugs his caddy and, you know, he's holding it, he's holding baby Keppa, who, like, you know, he wasn't at a couple days, you know, he was there for the birth, which they thought he was going to have to get out of the master. Like, he basically said, unbelievably, don't take me in the Masters in a fantasy pool because I may have to withdraw. But being able to talk about that and being able to hold him and be like, you have no idea what this means right now, but one day you will, like, literally being able to hear him talk to, like, his son on Father's Day, his first Father's Day, and being a US Open champion. Like, it was just so such a good story. And I do think it is better because of how much John Rahm, I think, has, like, calmed down, but, like, I mean, even 2 years ago on tour, John Rahm was probably the biggest hothead. I would even say last year. But I think everything that has gone on, I think he really showed a lot after, for what Michael said, after the memorial and, you know, being able to have his child and being able to do this. It just seems like he's in a much better state. But I will say sooner or later, we are going to see the John Rahm freakouts again. And I can't wait for it.
Definitely. Definitely. That's coming next time he swings a golf club, because he's probably going to expect to be perfect because he's just coming off a major friggin' hardest challenge in golf win. What do we think of Torrey Pines? Did we like the product, the setup? I mean, I know it gets its hate, it gets its glamour. What do we think on the course? Did it test him as much? Was it fair?
I'll say this, and Tim, I don't know if you agree. Better than I expected for Torrey Pines, because honestly, I thought
it wasn't.
I didn't know if Torrey Pines was going to be up for it.
It wasn't sunny. It didn't blow. The wind was, like, not a factor.
The wind was not as much of a factor, but it was still a factor. I mean, they had 50-mile-an-hour gusts. Like, it was there. It wasn't as much as they thought it was going to be, which I think is kind of which, you know, kind of here and there, not the best, but I thought it was better than I expected, but again, it was an easier US Open. You know, nothing's ever going to be easier than Erin Hills when it was supposed to be a really, really hard golf course. And then there was no wind and it rained the entire week before. So everyone shot, you know, Brooks shot 18 under and freaking Justin Thomas shot a 59, not a 59, he shot a 60. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's never going to, you know, I don't think that's ever going to happen because it was a cavalcade of, like, all of these different things for 27. I think it was 2017, right? 2017 or 2017. Cause Brooks won Shinnecock Hills in 2018. And that was hard. I like it when the scores are lower or are higher than they were this week. So I was hoping for, like, a -2, -1, even my personal favorite is when it's over par. Like, I like when the US Open's a +1 or +2. I just think, like, that's, like, you're never going to see that in any other tournament. So I like being able to see that. Yeah. So I think it was better on Saturday and Sunday. I think it was better than expected. The cut line was hot, was low. Cut line was low.
Tim, you're
plus
the
plus four.
Tim's the course.
Plus five was the cut. Are you so +4, +5?
+4 was the cut. Yeah. So everyone +5 or above missed it.
Tim, what's your take? You're the course. You love that shit.
So when I did turn on the TV, I did like seeing that rough, you know, that almost fluffy, almost furry rough. I do like seeing it. That reminds me of the US Open. That's, you know, when it's not at a course that relies on its fescue to be the challenge. So like a Wingfoot or whatever like that, you know, when it's just pure grass, almost like Jamawa, you know, it's very thick green grass. But that was recognizable as a US Open kind of layout and everything. Like, of course, the narrow fairways and everything like that. The greens were not as quick as I was thinking. I know, Brendan, you said last week it was a 13 on the stint meter.
Yeah, that's a pretty medium for the US Open.
Yeah, it wasn't really that fast, especially for a course where there weren't that many undulations on greens. I mean, we're coming off of wing foot where it's just like a complete amoeba of a green where it's just all just bumps and hooks and ladders and all that kind of thing. The only thing about Torrey Pines, I do think it delivered narrow wise, but and we'll talk about Bryce in a little bit and how he just completely avoided the rough. But the holes, I mean, maybe it's just me, but there weren't a lot of like different holes. Like I could be watching like the eighth hole, and I could also be watching, you know, 14, 15, and they would be the exact same. I there's nothing that's like, oh, there, here comes the 17th hole, you know, almost like Augusta where, yeah. Right. So, you know, exactly what Amen Corner is, 11, 12, 13, you know, or just simpler courses like upcoming the Travelers Tournament. I know exactly, different, you know what I mean? There's just so many different. So, as far as recognizable holes and different tests, it just seemed like it was the same test over and over and over, that basically if you had that one thing down, then you could possibly score. And there wasn't a lot of scoring, but, Torrey Pines, it was cool just because the scenery, and you got to see all those, you know, the parasailing things. I mean, how cool are those things? I'd like to do that. I was thinking about renting one of those for 4 hours and just next time it's there and just sit up there.
So sweet. Sweet. You get you follow guys in those, you get danger, like 6, 8, 10 feet from the cliffs there. That's dangerous stuff, it looks like, but they're just casually just flying through the air. I mean, my goodness, does that look like it's a lot of fun?
It does. Also looks extremely dangerous. So looks I will not
tiresome
be doing it.
Too. Looks tiresome for your arms, for the glider, the steer, whoever's doing the work. I mean, you got a freaking pole and yeah, you're balancing. How do you go up? I have no idea. And they stay on the cliffs. Like they don't come over the golf course. They're just staying on the, it's incredible. I mean,
it was impressive.
Hats off. Hats are way off.
Oh, Brendan, can we talk about how the 18th hole was the easiest hole all week, and how we talked about, we love par fives on the
easiest 18th hole. It was the easiest 18th hole in US Open history.
You know, and I kind of love it.
I told you, man, I love it. I love par fives to end. I think that should be I wish that could just become a thing where it's just like, all right, you can only be a US Open course if you have a par five to end on 18. If you have a par five, you can be a US Open course, because I would go nuts. It is awesome.
Yo, what do we think about Louis' layup on 18? Do we think he should have went for that or what? I mean,
so here's the thing, tough,
but you got, yeah. And then how about that on that 18th, like the same hole every time over and over. Then you get to the 18th and you see that pond right in front of the 18th green. Like,
it's the only one.
It's like, all right, we at least tried to change it up on 18. Why don't we do that on 1 through 17? Like my goodness. But honestly, I know I watched Tiger's just immaculate performance against Rocco, but that pond, just like, you don't expect it after the first 17. You hop to 18, you're like, whoa, you got some water on the course. All right.
Devlin's Billabong, baby.
So obviously what was Louis? Like 230 out, like Barry Lye in the rough, like, and he has water like on front.
Yeah, he was like 240 or 250 at least.
He doesn't go for that. These guys can get Justin Thomas he had a 291 to the pin. He landed it like way over, like middle of the fairway. He didn't even hit driver. He hits like a 3-wood. I don't even know. These guys can hit it to 250, but you're laying up. Watch Tin Cup one time, laying up. Go for it, Louis. Go for it, baby. Come on. You hole out there, you win the thing.
Here's the worst part about Louis too. Here was the worst part about Louis. Holes 1 through 16, Louis was rock solid. Absolutely solid. Didn't put a single foot wrong.
No, but he wasn't hitting it great. Like he was still battling and he was making these pars like for 8 feet. And you're like,
that's Louis.
I know. But
that's his game.
Best putter on tour within 10 feet. We talked about it at the Zurich. He's the guy. If you're 10 feet in or in, you want him on the putter. And he just proved it. He was absolutely a steel bar. Just putting these things, just absolutely couldn't be more solid.
And
until 17.
On the 17th, he's had all these push fade block misses right. Now he does what we ask. He tries to come through the thing and he hooks it left into a freaking bush. And he's got to take an unplayable. I mean, the guy, he can't catch a break.
Absolute nightmare of a 17th hole. Oh.
Well, you kind of knew it was coming too. Not like knew it was coming, but I was just like thinking about the Zurich when he just completely sliced it right into the drink in the middle of the pond, just on that 18th hole. I'm like, oh my God, if he hits even slightly left, he has to take a drop or whatever. I mean, it just felt like it was coming then. I mean, it's not even like he hit it. You saw it bounce and you're like, oh shoot. He almost saved that.
He made bogey, right?
Yeah. He almost made par.
He only made bogey. So it's like, if you or I, you put it in the shit and you got to drop one, it's like, all right, we're looking at like an eight. Like
seven at least.
He's like, how can I make par here? And he almost does it.
Yeah, it was crazy. I do think it's tough for him too, right? Because like, obviously Louis doesn't have to worry about money anymore because he's made so much on tour, but you know, you do go there and you're just like, all right, like, do I have a better shot if I go for the green right now? But I'm probably going to hit it. Like, let's be real. I'm probably going to hit it in the water. Or do I have a better shot if I do lay it up, get it to 100 and just hit a freaking spectacular wedge, which he didn't hit a spectacular wedge in. You know what I mean? Like, he hit a good wedge, got it solid. You know, made the birdie putt, but
can't believe he made that putt. I definitely turned it off after that. I don't remember. I don't remember that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He made that putt, but, Louis is unfortunately, and this is a very sad stat. So he has the career grand slam in finishing in second place in the majors. He has 6 second place finishes now in majors. And he has gone back to back this year, second places.
Ooh-wee.
He might get to, and I forget, I think it was 2015 Ricky Fowler, where Ricky Fowler finished top 5 every major. And it was like third, second, fourth set, like something crazy like that. Yes. I forget exactly what year it was, but it was like, oh, this is all right. So next year, Ricky's going to win. And then, I mean, obviously, yeah, we're now at the point where Ricky didn't even qualify for the US Open. So, you know, that kind of stinks. But, you know, just heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. But I will be making sure to put, I'm not going to put any money on it yet, but I will bet the house that Louis does pretty gosh darn well at the Open this year at Royal St. George.
Can't wait. What week is that?
He'll be in my lineup.
Again, Brendan ditched Louis one weekend. He saved $800 in the bank to pick someone $800 less than Louis in daily fantasy. So, no, but I did want to talk about Bryson a little bit. Again, his play on Sunday reminded me exactly of his play last year at Winged Foot. Like, it was identical. He didn't give a shit where his ball went. He hit that thing way right, way left. Usually way right, and just hope for the best. I feel like he just lost it. Like, he doesn't even try and dial in and hit the fairway. Like, just try and hit the fairway, dude, and you're going to have good looks. Like, this guy, I'm glad he got a little, like, taste of his own. You know, you hit it far, and you finish off track. Yeah, you can muscle it out of the rough, but you didn't win this one. I mean, he was all over. He made a run on the front nine, but all over the place on the back nine. On Sunday, just all over the place, making messes of everything, but hitting some, again, he's right there. He's hitting some unreal, like, just chip shots. Like, he went to the right on that tough par three. I forget. He was right of it. And he just had an incredible, just a little pitch touch shot. It's just incredible cool. What these guys can do.
But you know why he's getting away with all this is because he is, he's banking on the fact that it's going to go into a place where it's all the rough is all trampled down by spectators. And I hate that. So basically, it's like either you hit the fairway or you hit it way right to where the fans are. So all that rough is trampled down and he gets a pretty decent lie where he's not hacking it out of, you know, how many times do we actually see him have to hack it out of the real rough? We saw it on that par five where he made an eight or something like that. But besides that, I mean, and we were talking about it and I'm sitting there watching it with my dad on Father's Day and my dad is, he's noticing, he's like, John Rahm isn't even calling four. He's just basically hitting it. It's like going dead into those people. And he's just not calling four. He's just looking down. And then, which is like, okay, like, you know, not all the players are calling four. But he's looking down and, but he's doing it over and over and over, just into the crowd. And then, my dad, on a side note, he's like, why do you like Louis? You know, why do you like Louis? And I said, Dad, if you look at Louis, when it comes close to the crowd, Louis's wincing. He is like concerned for the people that might be in the way of his upcoming ball. Just like, mm-hmm. He's like a decent human being. And Bryson is just like, oh, I'm just going to hit it into these crowds with, you know, no regards for their well-being. And I don't know.
What a hot take. That's awesome to me. I love that. That is awesome. That back and forth. Oh, thanks for sharing. Cause you're right. I mean, you see that hurts. I've been at a golf match where some guy was wearing a hat like this. It had that top button right on top. It freaking from the ninth tee at Highland. I forget the kid, Jack Kent. Was Jack Kent, you remember that name, Brendan, at Fian? High school golfer. It's a par three. So it was probably like a 6-iron, just 180 yard shot, just boom, hits right on the top of the pin and rush to the hospital. Just like, boom, got to get out of here. Like hits the top. Imagine hitting that pin on the top, like 180 yard bomb coming down at, ooh,
got right on the button.
Right on top. Right on the button. Yeah. That ran through me when I heard that. Just, ow, ow, that's gotta hurt real bad. So good for Louis. I like that take. And yeah, the Torrey Pines, the rough in one area could have been like the same area, but the rough could be decent here, brutal here. It's like 2 feet of difference and you get screwed because you're 2 feet left instead of 2 feet right. I mean, these guys catching breaks left and right. And we need more golf courses just lined with trees or just put some nets. Like if you hit it way right, there's a big net. You can't go over it. Like you're screwed. You got to go backwards. Like you got to hit it backwards.
That's a good idea.
I like it. That'd be kind of funny.
Like tree line fairways, just you can't be blocking it right and left. Like I know this was called more of a link style course kind of we talked about, but it just seemed like Bryson could hit it 400 yards and go find it and have a shot at it. And what are we teaching here? Straight.
Oh.
Give guys like Zach Johnson a shot. Give guys like Kevin Kisner a shot. Make guys freaking have to put it here on some holes. Some can be open, you know. But no, I don't know. I'm satisfied with the result, the winner. I'm glad it was done in a fashion the way that it was done. You know, that guy earned it. John Rahm made two very clutch putts, and he earned that shit. So, kudos.
Oh, absolutely. He did. Like, I mean, go for it, bud.
No, I don't know. Remember, you guys watch Brooks Bryson boxes? They put them side by side on Sunday. Yeah. Like on the TV, they put Brooks and Bryson. It was just classic. It was just they're pumping it up so big time. It's awesome, man. And great both of them. Both of them didn't tie in last, but they didn't win it. So I'm pumped about it.
Oh, man. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that Brooks and Bryson thing in a little bit. But boy, I don't know if you guys remember this at all, and I don't really want to touch on it, but Harris English going in third place at -3 and like him just finishing up like 2 hours before everyone else. Was just the most ridiculous thing in the world. And, you know, when he posted the score, we're like, oh, -3. Like, that'll probably be, you know, that'll be pretty good. Like, that could be top 10. Then, nope, just third place out of freaking nowhere. Just Harris English out of nowhere. God.
He was making money watching TV.
Timmy, you picked him in your lineup this week, right?
I did. It was great. You just unfortunately Tony Finau missed the cut, so I was just basically out of contention.
Finau.
Oh my god.
What are we doing?
We will get to the notable missed cuts because there's a lot.
But Harry, you said he finished 2 hours?
Oh my god. He finished while John Rahm was on the 11th hole.
He's watching all this carnage and he's
literally just watching. And he's just like, all right, that my check went up $50,000. Oh, my check just went up $100,000. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just like, damn, this is awesome. I'm so happy. I mean, we did have some other great guys like finishing top five, rounding it out, T4 with Morikawa, Koepka, and another big time energy guy coming out of nowhere. Guido Migliozzi.
What a name.
What a name.
If you didn't know where he was from, you knew where he was from just based on his name.
Could be from there. He could be from Federal Hill in Providence. We don't
know. Yeah, or Cranston or something like that. Yeah.
Yo, some of those shots though on Sunday late in the round, like I remember Morikawa had one, just bladed it like 30 yards over the green. Just that he's probably had that shot a million times. That pressure, man. It's
unbelievable. If Morikawa could have putted, Morikawa would have won. Like I not would have won, but he would have been very, very close to win.
I feel like guys check out too, like when they screw up, like when they're just like late. Bryson just checked out. Like he knew like I got no shot now. It's like I feel like that just gradually takes effect and eventually just over occupies your mind and you can't get out of it. And it's just downhill from there. Spiral, spiral, spiral.
And you look at it too, it's just heartbreak city for some guys. Like you watch Rory and Rory's like, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. And it's like, oh, he's Rory's making a run. He's making a run. He's going to make the run. He's going to get in. And then it's just like, whoa.
Yeah.
No, bogeyed 11, doubled 12, but then he comes back. Like he's always coming back. But like never enough to be in complete contention, just enough to be back to our top five. But that's what separates him, like being a great player, and Bryson, who's a good player as far as mentally.
Right.
Bryson is just checked out. He's like you said, Mike.
Oh, he gone.
As soon as he makes a quad bogey or triple bogey, doesn't even want to
try. As hard as he can, doesn't care where it goes on the next tee. You're right, Tim. Rory, and yeah, he backdoor top fives, but like if you gave him 22 holes, like he might eventually take the, you know what I mean? Like he's always, like if he makes a bogey and then a double, like you said, like he'll put it on the green and two on the next hole. And it's like, shit, like if he makes this and that's an eagle. Now he did that, right? And again, some of these putts are like hanging on edges and just bad breaks. And he putted a beautifully lag putts. Like I don't remember too many of his misses, but he was toying with the heartstrings. I was rooting for him. That was my guy. That was my guy.
I would love for him to be a better putter. Maybe that'll come with age. It would be so much fun to watch, and he would be that much better if he could just be a great putter. I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad putter, but I don't feel comfortable when he's putting. It's almost like watch Morikawa, a little bit of the same thing, like you were saying, Brennan. When I was watching him on the screen,
I was like, Morikawa. Every time I'm like, this is going to lip out. Every time it's a big putt, I'm like, it's going to lip out. Like literally, like no matter how many times it goes around, I'm like, that's coming out. Like it's crazy. Also, for any of you watching on the YouTube, that was another ravaging episode of when the host needs to go get another beer.
Stop beer.
No, you're right. Rory, though, those 8-footers, Louis making them. Rory, you're usually seeing him slide by one way or the other.
Colin, Rory and Morikawa, that's their biggest, I think their biggest holes in their games is that. The fact that like every time Morikawa has a 10-foot putt for par, I'm like, ugh. Every time Louis has a 10-foot putt up for par, I'm like, okay, let's go to the next hole. Like, this is going in. Let's go to the next hole. Now we kind of get into my favorite part of the U.S. Open. I think it's your guys' favorite part of the U.S. Open, too. We got some meltdowns, baby. We got some absolute unbelievable meltdowns. And it's starting with what we were talking about with Bryson DeChambeau going out and shooting a 44 on the back nine.
44.
He went from winning the tournament to 9 strokes back.
Wow.
Meltdown.
Do you think if we had 10 opportunities on that same nine, do you think we could break 44? I don't know if we could break it, but do you think we could tie 44 given 10 chances on that nine?
No. No shot.
Nope.
Worth a shot.
I mean, I think these golf courses are set up so hard, and like, I don't know. I guess there weren't many. There really, what was harder, Kiowa or Torrey? Like,
Kiowa.
What was the low score? What was the low score at Kiowa?
Oh, it was much lower. It was
12 under or something like
but
that.
But it was also a par 72, just like
total. Well, that doesn't matter too. It's not set up to be the hardest.
Right.
It wasn't set up to be the hardest, you know.
I just think Torrey didn't have as many force carries.
Mickelson minus 6.
So I was just saying, like, off the tee, I don't think there was as many force carries as there were at Kiowa. Like, Torrey, you can kind of just whack it out there. So we might have a better shot at Torrey, but
Kiowa's got the there was not a lot of wind at Torrey. Kiowa had the wind like crazy. Right. And then on the last day, it just was like, now we're switching directions, everyone. The way you've been playing it the last 3 days, let's switch it around. But I mean, Bryson is obviously the biggest one with the 44 on the back. Ian Poulter played himself out of contention with a 42 on the back nine. Shane Lowry and Mackenzie Hughes with a 41 on the back. Mackenzie Hughes putting a golf ball into a tree. Unreal.
Didn't come down. Was staring at it, hoping it would come down. Didn't come down.
What are you doing? Do you just like go and like shake the tree? Like, I think there should be something allowed on that side.
No, don't hit it in the tree, yo.
Now, what happens? This is another question I posed to my dad. I said, what happens if a fan all of a sudden before he even gets to the ball, before the player, any player who hits into a tree, before they get to the ball, what happens if a fan like jumps up on the tree and shakes it down? Does the player get a penalty?
No, live ball.
That's what I mean.
Be a live ball.
The guy out.
I don't know. That's true. It could come down. I mean, but it looked like it was stuck between.
It was staying there.
That thing wasn't coming down, even if you shook the whole tree sideways.
No, you need a chainsaw to get that one down.
Talk about a meltdown with Mackenzie Hughes. I mean, see you later, dude. He looked like deer in the headlights on the first tee. I mean, you could just tell he was going nowhere.
Yeah, him and Russell Henley both really struggling on the last.
They were the most lackluster names. I mean, I wasn't really rooting for either one. There were so many other names that I was rooting for. Not that I was rooting against them. I just didn't.
Right. Henley was a little more surprising than
yeah, Hughes. I mean, well, Hughes came in missing like five cuts
in a row. Yeah.
Yeah. But Mackenzie Hughes is probably, I mean, I know we say Corey Connors is the best Canadian golfer. Like, Mackenzie Hughes is not a very far behind second. It's quite a close second if he's not 1A. He is. Oh, I love Mackenzie Hughes. Fine.
No, a lot of people do, but
how much does he weigh? I mean, he's got to weigh
100 pounds soaking wet. 100 pounds soaking wet.
And he hits the ball like that. I mean, that gives us all hope, you know.
Miles.
I think I found something today, guys, in my swing. I think I found something.
Very nice.
We'll talk about
very,
it.
Very nice. Oh.
A couple pure ones, you know, they feel freaking great.
I gotta hear this.
We do have a unfortunately, you know, we were just talking about the back nine meltdowns, but we do have one man in particular who just decided as soon as he made the cut, he's like, I'm done. I'm out. Richard Bland, 36 hole co-leader, 48 years old, out of England, won his first tournament this year, 36 hole lead, and then was like, I'm good.
I'm good.
I'm gonna shoot 6 over par and 7 over par. And I'm gonna finish way back.
I'm good. I mean,
oh man, I was rooting for him so hard because I was like, this would be an unreal story. He didn't even have sponsors on his shirts. They were like, they weren't. No one knew who was sponsoring him. It was insane. It was unbelievable.
Flex Seal, you got your new one.
Hey, Sebastian Munoz, you know who you got to help out on that one. Send your buddy over to send Richard Bland the guys for Flex Seal so he can saw his boat in half and fix it.
Get Dick Bland some Flex Seal, will you?
I mean,
him and Lee Westwood. He finished one shot worse than Lee Westwood.
Finest age whiskey and golf right there.
Lee Westwood didn't live up to the hype.
No, it's okay though. It's okay. I don't think we're ever gonna see what we saw with Lee Westwood this year when he went back to back second places. Like, that was impressive. I was so happy around that too. That was great. Oh,
We'll see on the PGL next year. See you, bud.
Oh Jesus! Yeah, we are gonna see him on. He's gonna be a number. Him and Phil are gonna be 1 and 1A on the first guys that are just like, sign me up for $30 million.
I'll be there.
Oh, I'd be there too. I'd be there too. I don't want it to happen, but I'd be there too. You know, I do think we did talk about it. We did talk about Bryson. You know, kind of messing up. We talked about Brooks finishing T5, you know, tied for fourth and having another freaking amazing major championship. Like, I don't know what we do at this point. I don't know what we do. Like, do we just say Bryson can go that route? I mean, sorry, Brooks can go the route where he's just like, you don't have to play in any other tournaments, but like, you can go ahead and come play the majors. Like, are we there yet? Like, I don't know.
I think he obviously doesn't. I mean, it's well known that he doesn't care about any other tournament, so he will definitely be another PGL candidate.
Yeah, the only other tournament he cares about is the Waste Management because he's won that I think twice now, and when it was the Western Open, it was almost a fifth major. It was considered golf's fifth major, like the Players is now, but it's not. So I guess he's just like, yeah, this used to be the a major, so I'll just win it.
See you later, Brooksy. Not a fan.
I know. But what we do have to say and what we do have to look at now is there is still like this Bryson versus Brooks. This stat is unbelievable. Bryson and Brooks have played in 17 major championships concurrently. Brooks has finished higher in 15 of those 17 major championships.
So last year's U.S. Open.
And this year's Masters, I think, because Brooks missed the cut.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, Brooks is definitely. He's going to be no surprise anymore. No surprise. He can talk the game. He acts tough. Acts like he doesn't care. Talks a big game. What, he's going to be there. I'm going to root against him. Bring it on, Brooks. Bring it on.
So are you team Bryson?
I'm team neither.
Okay.
If the rest of the field perishes, I'm going Bryson.
Yep. If it comes down to an 18-hole playoff next year, on when they reinstate the 18-hole playoff, and it's Bryson and Brooks, I'll root for Bryson too.
That's classic.
Feel betrayed. Feel absolutely betrayed by my co-host right now.
Why? You're a Brooksy guy?
I'm neither guy, but I will root for Brooks over Bryson.
Contrarian play. I love it. You love that.
I'm not a contrarian play. This is a very mainstream play. This is very normal. This is how 90% of golf fans look at it.
You know what? I think I can tolerate Bryson and his antics about changing the game and getting around certain rules and things like that is because I will give a shout out to Michael's brother. And because we have grown up with him and he is a little shit because he comes up with ways around things. For instance, we played we played baseball all our lives as righties up until we were, I don't know, whenever, 10, 12, 11, whatever. And we set up all our fields to where we can play, you know, where we can have like a left field that is long enough so it's challenging home run. And most of our fields that had a very short right field porch. So Chris, the little shit he is, and I respect the hell out of him for it, he just said, I'm going to turn and stand on the other side of the plate so I can have a short porch and I can just hit a little dinker.
I don't think he ever hit one out, though.
But his thought process was there. It's like Bryson.
He got to the other side of the plate, and then he realized, oh, I'm 6 feet closer to first base. I'm just going to lay down a bunt because I can't freaking hit. So I'm going to try and bunt my way on. Like, that was his thought. I think you're absolutely right, Tim. Home run to, all right, I still suck. Bunt.
Oh, man. Shout out Topher Adams. What an unbelievable.
Topher. But I respect the hell out of it. So he's kind of desensitized me to getting around the rules in a non-rule breaking way.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure Bryson still wears the metal spikes. Those are illegal. I'm pretty sure that those are actually illegal on the PGA Tour. And I think he has a special exemption.
No, Tiger does that.
A special exemption. No way. I'm pretty sure that if the PGA Tour heard or saw those spikes and deemed them illegal, that he would be disqualified.
Tiger doesn't still wear steel spikes.
These guys are disqualified for a lot less. I mean, you got Bryson jumping in the back of Brooks' photos, interviews. He's such a twerk. He's such a weird, I don't even know what to call him. But again, I guess jock versus nerd in high school, I'm leaning towards helping the nerd out of the locker, you know, like lend you a hand out. I know you're probably annoying as all hell, but that big jock thinks he's a load of shit and whatever.
Really does.
Let him be.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm still going Brooks, but yeah, I see where you guys are coming from.
I have something right here about the metal spikes. While most courses are soft spikes facilities, the venues hosting PGA Tour events and major championship make an exception for the best players in the world. That includes Tiger Woods, who still wears a hybrid version from Champ called the Pro Stinger. The spike combines a steel tip with a durable polymer outer. So basically, it's for exemption for the best players in the world.
Hell yeah. All right, Brennan, sit down. I mean, that, I know that's outdated. That's probably when Tiger was playing back in 2019. Where's Tiger at these days?
Recovering. He's in recovery. Leave him alone.
We don't even talk about Tiger in our golf podcast. It's just, he's coming back. No, golf's in a good place. We got other things to talk about, but you can't forget about the GOAT.
Oh, yeah. Never. Never can forget about Tiger. But, yeah. I don't know. Steel spikes are just weird to me, man. I don't get them. I wear the spikeless ones now. So that's probably why too, where I just wear the spikeless shoes. And I really like them, but anyways, back to,
I got them on right now. Free ad.
Spikeless?
Free ad. TrueKnit. They are the comfiest golf shoe. I promise you, TrueKnit Golf. Go on their website and just peruse around their golf shoe. I just wore these reffing tonight, reffing basketball. They're floating on. It's, dude, if you want a comfortable golf shoe that you don't wear when it's wet out, TrueKnit. I kid you not.
TrueKnit. If you want to pay us $25, we will read a 30-second ad for you. Don't worry. We got you, bud. Mike basically did it anyways.
That's a ringing endorsement right there. Just I would be refting them. Jeez.
$140 all, they're a utility sneaker, but you can wear them on the golf course. they're incredibly comfortable.
Yeah, dude. I wear my Adidas ones. If we go, I'll drive to the course with them on. I will play golf. I will go into the bar with them afterwards. They're perfect. I'm very much team spikeless right now. I think I'm going to be spikeless for the rest of my days, especially because I'm really not that good at golf. Oh man. Oh,
are those the same ones that you have? The blue ones? You have light blue ones too, Mike?
So yeah, the same brand. Those light blue ones now are just my kicking around shoe, and they're the second most comfiest shoe, but they're definitely outworn and they're on their last legs, but they're comfy as hell.
Interesting.
Brendan, you said you stink at golf. Let's talk about some other people who stink at golf.
Mikey Segway.
Mikey Segway. Notable miss.
We thought we were getting a Mikey Tidbits, but we got a Mikey Segment instead. Oh,
I mean, we had him in our DF lineup. We had the guy that I didn't see swing a club all weekend. I watched a decent amount.
He didn't watch him all week because he was so bad in the first round.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. He wasn't around in the weekend because he missed the cut. But Thursday, Friday, I watched a decent amount of golf. I didn't see him swing a club once.
Our poor little baby Will Zalatoris. His first ever missed cut in a major.
Oh. Coming back to earth.
And he finished top five. He was T5 last year at the US Open. What happened, Big Willie? What happened to you?
I don't know, man.
That was
sad. And he's from California.
Come on, man.
That's when you know we did bad. You didn't see him on TV for the first 2 days.
Did anybody have Xander Schauffele in their DF lineup?
Yeah,
did we touch on him at all? Did we skip him?
He finished tied for seventh. I mean, him and Rory, they were kind of the same. You know what I mean? They were just like, they were making runs and then they'd fall back. And then they made runs and then they fell back. And then they made runs. I was actually really looking. I really thought that Xander was going to make a more of a run, because it was like his hometown course and he grew up playing it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Didn't happen.
I feel like that's such extra pressure too, though.
Definitely. But he's always there. Like, he's a guy who never plays bad. Never. Like, he's always
And
there.
He snuck into the top 10 in a major again.
It would have been a great story. The kid in 2008 watching Tiger win from a tree limb. Yeah. Winning in 2021. But you know what's a better story? John Rahm up 6 strokes last week. Tells he got
2 weeks ago, but yeah,
says he gets COVID, the most dreadful disease anyone's ever seen in 2019, 2020,
2021,
and 2021. The world just shut down for, I don't even remember times before COVID. Like, what was that like? But yeah, great story with Rambo. Yep.
Rambo, baby.
Rambo.
And that was Mikey's Tidbits. So we got a Mikey Segments and we got a Mikey's Tidbits.
Got to.
COVID-19, the worst disease in 2019 and 2020.
Just brutal.
Great Mikey's Tidbits.
But just a great story, you know? It just made more sense. Made more sense than Xander Schauffele climbing a friggin' tree to watch Tiger. I mean, great for you. Maybe next time.
He's going to break through one day, though. I know, and I'm going to keep picking him. And then the one time I don't, he's going to win. So he's going to keep getting picked.
Let me know when you don't pick him. Let me know when you don't. I'll scoop him right up. But Tony Finau, another notable miscut. I know we're getting there. Want to keep this train chugging along.
Justin Rose. Shocker.
Justin Rose, huge number.
Webb.
What did he shoot?
Have been the ultimate way. I mean, no offense to John Rahm, because it's a great story, but like, this would have been an ultimate Webb Simpson win. This would have been ultimate. Like, people talking that it's not a great course. People talking about, like, who knows who's going to win this? Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, no one thought Bryson could repeat. Like, and all of a sudden, Webb Simpson comes in on just like his horse and buggy, and it's just like, I'm Webb Simpson. I went to Wake Forest, and then he just wins.
Did he shoot an 80 or was it a 79?
I think it was a 79. But Abe Anser, another guy that I had missed. Hoochie Coochie, no surprise. He's been kind of stinking this year. Bad year for Hoochie Coochie. Big surprises, two big surprises. Corey Connors, number one. Corey's been good this year. Cam Smith. Also a big surprise, and probably the biggest surprise of the weekend of the week for a miscut, Victor Hovland withdrew.
But he wasn't playing good anyways.
Yeah. But he pulled a
got sand in his eye, so he's got to bail. Yeah, that's let people know you stink. I mean, if you were in first, no way you'd bail and sand in the eye. Come on.
Didn't see that one coming. Yeah, but Cam Smith, what happened the past two majors? I mean, in the Masters played lights out, didn't win, but then the past two majors is non-existent. Don't know what's up with Cam Smith. All of a sudden, after his win in the Zurich, and, he's MIA now. I don't know what's up.
Had a great start to the year.
Did have a great start to the year. Just the Victor Hovland. Jesus Christ. There's pictures online of like Victor Hovland with like a thing over his eye too. I'm just like, come on, man.
Losing respect for him by the second.
Oh no. I love me some Victor.
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Was it bad? I didn't even see it. Did he friggin' there's a lot of sand?
I have no idea because it wasn't on freaking television because he was stinking.
Yeah, right. But there's got it. Yeah.
It doesn't sound good. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's very tough when they put it like he got sand in his eye and he missed a major, the U.S. Open, because he has sand in his eye. It doesn't sound good.
Imagine that. Just like, what happened? Got sand in my eye. Had to, it's like a SpongeBob back in the day. He ripped his pants, had to withdraw.
I'm actually surprised we didn't see that more out there this weekend. More guys withdraw from sand in the eye. There's so many friggin' bunkers out there. I mean,
it was a lot of bunkers,
just one hole after the other, same bunker, right, same bunker, left, middle of the fairway. You drive it there, you're in there, you drive it well, right, you're lucky, you're not there, and then you approach the green, bunker right, bunker left. I mean, same thing over and over. We talked about it, but yeah, I mean, a lot of sand flying around there this weekend.
There's just going to be some guys who are going to tough it out. You know, I think you look at it, you know, going back to the ripped pants analogy, there's some guys who are going to be like SpongeBob, and Victor Hovland was like SpongeBob, and he got out of there. There's other guys who are going to be like Ed Cooley, and they're going to put a nice little Gatorade towel around the back of their pants, and they're going to get right back out there.
Wow, what a reference.
John Rahm would have been one of those guys that was just like, put that Gatorade towel behind the butt and just get back out there.
I think if I go to, I think if I ever go play at Torrey, I think I'm going to wear goggles.
Might as well.
Water goggles.
I think Victor Hovland sponsored goggles.
Protect the eyes. I mean, a lot of sand. Obviously, we know it's a known injury out there. Got to be sure to protect the eyes. Yes. Goggles.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. That's the thing.
I'll take them off when I'm out of the bunker.
That's right. That's right. Brennan, thank you very much. Now I got that ripped pants song stuck in my head. God, now I'm just singing it. Sand in the buns. Now I learned a lesson. I was okay.
Guys, it only took us an hour to go off the rails. This is impressive. Wow. Usually we're off in 10 minutes, so this is great. Oh man, what a show! What a great time!
And that's how we conclude the wrap up of the 2021 U.S. Open.
Wow, what a voice!
Oh shoot,
he's learning. He's learning. Sooner or later, he's going to get one of those 1920 microphones and just, as you can see, the Chicago Bears are out here playing the Green Bay Packers.
The band is on the field. The band is on the field.
We're in here for an absolute bomb runner.
Oh, shoot. This monocle.
Oh, man. Coming in for the Chicago Cubs, number 26, Bugsy Malone. Bugsy Malone is 5'6" and 120 pounds, and he can throw two balls, a fastball and a slow ball, and that's it.
Wow. Off the cuff. That's pretty good.
Shoot.
Oh, man.
Is that a whale's tail over there? What is that?
That is a nice little treehouse. It's one of their...
Ooh.
It's called a Surfcaster.
Nice.
So, free ad.
Treehouse is a good spot if you're ever driving down the pike in Massachusetts, middle of the state.
Mm-hmm. I got for Father's Day, since it was Big Father's Day this weekend. So for John Rahm, it was great. We talked about it earlier. Great for him to win on Father's Day. But I went out to Treehouse and I grabbed my dad some beer. So that way he could have a nice little Father's Day, because we got him a new golf bag.
Wow.
And then I got him some Treehouse beer as well.
Wow, what a guy.
And I picked up the kind that I like too. And I was like, hey.
What kind of golf bag?
think it's a Ping. I'm not sure.
Oh,
I don't know.
I got a new golf bag.
He picked it out, and then he, in the most 2021 fashion of all time, he picked it out, he bought it, and then he Zelled me and my sister for it.
Yes. Good for him. I got a McGregor, Timmy, a McGregor golf bag.
Did you really?
Yeah, they're small. They kind of hang like flat across the back, which I don't love. Like, I like the kind of slant when it's double strapped on your back so that the clubs don't like fall out. So yep. kind of, but it's light as hell. And I usually just strap it over the right shoulder and just kind of hold the clubs anyways. I'm going for a light bag. I'm playing. Yeah, we'll get into it. Bogeys for the boys, but get a light bag if you're going to walk. My goodness.
Gotta get a light bag.
Dude, I turned 30 in 4 months. Getting that push card out, ready to go, baby. That's all that matters. Age 30 is when it becomes socially accepted. Timmy, don't you look at me like that. Don't you look at me like that.
I just realized I'm the youngest person here. That never happens. Wow.
You are. We're getting 30s, baby. 30s.
What were you saying, though, Brendan? Once you hit 30s, it's socially acceptable.
Once you hit 30, it is extremely socially acceptable for a push card.
Okay.
I think sometimes I'm learning light in the bag. Sometimes the push cart can be more of a burden than carrying.
I mean, on some occasions.
Hilly courses, and kid you not, I have glow balls because I love playing in the deck, but I keep all 12, all the whole dozen in my golf bag. So when I'm when I'm traveling, when I carry my own bag, I'm just belated. My back is screaming at me because I got a huge, like, just, I obviously took those out. Like, smarten up, Mike. I mean, what are we doing?
It's a good point. You don't need to carry a dozen balls that you're definitely not going to use.
We're getting off the rails. That's what we're doing.
I might need them.
Find them, baby. Find them. I found a bunch. They cut the grass at Ledgemont. You find Pro V1s everywhere. It's like Christmas.
You got to go on one ball search a year and you come up with the year's worth of golf balls.
Right. Oh, dude, just go into the woods at go into the trees at Ledgemont. Especially now, do they even have the caddies anymore or no?
I'm not sure. I think you might be able to select caddy, but might be certain times of the week, day. Not sure.
Definitely. It's definitely a weekend thing. I used to caddy when I was young. That's where I caddied. Bad tippers. God, not good golfers. And they didn't like tipping me. But anyways, I'm sure it's changed by now.
We'll see.
Anyways, we're going off the rails, so we're going to go into bogeys for the boys real quick.
Skipping the Travelers Championship. That's okay. That is okay, right?
We will just say, as the golf course guy, I love the ending stretch of the Travelers. That short par 4, 15th, the water par 3, 16th, and then 17th has got to be one of the coolest holes there ever was. Just pretty cool. Look at it on Google Maps if you have a chance. Great finishing holes at the Travelers. Low scores.
Can they drive 18?
No, you cannot drive 18.
Can't drive 18?
Cannot.
But yeah, no, that's a great run down there. 15, 16, 17, and then 18 is like a birdie hole. So like, I mean, we're looking at 30 under. No, I'm just kidding. It could be back to 20, 25 under. Who knows?
I think the record is 26 under, 25 under, something like that.
Jim Furyk has a 58 there.
I mean, when you're coming off the U.S. Open, you might as well make the course just like lights out scoring. Yeah. You might as well.
Any big names?
I think DJ goes every year. DJ won it last year, so I'm sure he's going to be there. Abraham Anser's going to be there. Right? Yeah, Bubba's won it three times. Jordan goes because he's won it.
Jordan's there?
I'm not sure if Jordan's there this year or not. I can get the field up real quick.
You can tell we did not daily fantasy.
No, we did not. We will do a nice little review.
That's okay. That's okay.
We got ladies night next week as well to review the women's PGA. So, we've got a big week coming up, but why don't we go ahead and get into bogeys for the boys?
Talk to me, Brendan. Where'd you play?
Oh, we're going to start with me today. Okay. Okay.
Good little field in the Travelers.
It's always a good field. It's always a good field at the Travelers. Kevin Streelman, win. Boom. Bank on it. No, I'm just saying. He did win it once before, though.
Ooh, that's a good call.
Streels? Like, yeah.
Yep. He's playing Streels. Well, and he's played well at the U.S. Open, and he's won it already, right? Or is that Brandon Steele?
Nope.
Kevin Streelman won it in 2014, and then last year he finished in second place.
Oh, I might have to. All right. Good to know. That's a good scouting thing. Thank you, Brendan.
Duke, is Ken Duke in the field? I know Ken Duke won it the year prior to me interning there. Ken Duke. Let's check it out.
So Kevin Streelman won it the year you interned there.
Kevin Streelman won it the year I interned there.
Yeah. Oh. I told you guys the story about how I just saw him randomly at a bar in South Carolina, right? Not this year, but last year. Unreal. Just walked into our local course. He's just sitting at the bar talking to people because he missed the cut. I'm just like, you're Kevin Streelman. He's like, yeah.
Missed the cut. Mom's
like, how did you know that? I was like, one, I can recognize him. And then two, he's got his big ass bag out there. So he and his caddy are just chilling at the bar watching the tournament. Unreal. Unbelievable.
You missed the cut. I mean, what are you going to do? Go grab
it. It was the second tournament back. I'll give him a break. I'll give him a break for that. He did pretty well at he played this year at Hilton Head. He did pretty well. So that was good for him. But anyways, we'll get into bogeys for the boys. So I played at Pawtucket Country Club today, my home course, although I don't belong there. It's my parents belong there. So I played with my mother. First off, big thing. 18 holes, 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Wow. You're lying.
Blue.
You're lying.
We had a cart.
How many holes did you skip? No kidding, you had a cart.
Yeah. There was
no kidding, dude. Oh. I mean, what? You sure you didn't have like a hovercraft or a helicopter or
none of the above, just a car.
Must have played well.
Yep. So I.
Yep.
Yep. So my mother shot a 99. She did her best. She was very good. That's a good score for her.
Double digits, love it.
I shot a 44 on the front nine. Ugh. I then bogeyed 10. And I went 7 straight pars. And I bogeyed 18 to finish up with a 36. So it's a par 69. But I finished up with a 36 on the back. So I shot an 80.
Hell yeah.
Oh, no.
And I had a 4-foot putt for par on 18. And I pulled it like a motherfucker.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
Hey, that's a good score. We should be upbeat.
But you can't be a beat when you pull a 4-foot putt to try and break 80.
Yeah, that's true. I
Oh, I feel you. I felt that pain, Brennan.
Yeah.
Hell of a back nine, though. Holy hell.
Hell of a back nine.
Jesus.
And it was, so I fixed my grip on my driving. So I made it, cause I was slicing a lot or not like, you know, I was cutting a lot on the front nine. And then I just went and I was like, screw it. Like, I'm going to do a hard grip or not a hard grip. What's it called? A strong grip. So a strong underhand grip and just, you know, start smacking it. It was great.
Good mid-round adjustment. Hell yeah.
Good, Brent.
Yeah.
Good, Brent.
So I was happy with it.
Hey, yeah.
No wonder why you got a couple tree houses in hand.
Feeling good. Right. I'm celebrating, baby.
Feeling good after an 80. That's good stuff.
And it should have been a 79.
It's okay. You still would have been like, it's a par 69.
And we had the only par 3. The only par 5 on the course is hole number 8. So, of course, my drive goes into the other fairway. I then take my 3-wood, mash it to about 40 yards in front of the green. Hit a bad chip, but still make it onto the green, but a bad chip. 3-putt bogey.
Damn.
So that was bad. Missing my putt. Missing my 4-footer for par on 18 was bad. I would have gotten booed. Like, luckily there was no one there because the bar and the grill room are closed on Mondays. Thank God. People would have been out on the terrace and they would have been watching me and they would have booed the ever living shit out of me if I missed that putt.
Why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we go through the round afterwards and we're like, oh, if only I did this or only I did that? Why do we do that?
Because I would have broke 80 for the first time in, I think, like 7 or 8 years. So, like, that would have been for me, like, oh, damn.
This is bringing me back to Nate's question about, like, if you shoot a 69
79.
Or sorry, if you shoot a, if you break 80 on a par 69.
Well, that's what, yeah, that's literally.
You tell people.
Yeah. Yeah, you do. So I would have came on here and I was at a shot 79.
What if you break it at Chamawa? Because aren't they like a 68 or 67?
Jesus. Like at peak, they're a 68. I don't think there's a par 5 on the course.
Brennan's coming in here saying I shot a 75, and he's not giving any of the details. He's not letting you know it was on a par 3.
I love it.
Total yards.
No, I'm going to a pitch and putt course. Hey, I shot a 59. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Pitch and putt.
Timmy, I need to hear about it, man. I need to hear about it. I've tried calling you. You don't friggin' answer your phone. You call me.
Am I about to get Wally pipped on my score?
Damn it. Well, so we played at a golf course, North Conway Country Club. 6600.
That's up there. That's kind of up there.
That's up there. And it, of course, it froze right at the thing.
That's okay.
So
we got the quick fix now.
6600 yards, par 71. I mean, the first tee, just to look. When you look out on the first tee, all you see is mountains and you're like, wow, we are right here. And it's legitimately like right off of the town. Like you could throw a rock from the town hall and to the clubhouse. Like it is right in the middle. I don't know how they did it. They squeaked it in, plenty of room. Played with my brother, my girlfriend and his girlfriend. It was a great time.
That sounds fucking great.
It was just like, just relaxed and just an absolute pleasure to play with all of them. We got a good thing going. My girlfriend is just starting out and she's got one of the best attitudes there is on the golf course, just positive. Brian's girlfriend is going to be out driving us in no time. She's just like has a naturally good swing. And then Brian, he's got a bum knee right now. My God. So he's wearing a big knee brace and everything like that.
Did he get around? Did he do all right getting around?
Yeah, he did fine. He shot an 88. Oh. Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah. He's still in business.
He called me the other night.
Gotta love it. Great job, Ian. We're proud of you.
And then shut the hell up. He called me the other night. He was in a great state of mind. I loved every second of our like 2-hour phone call. And he just kind of watched TV with my brother and I. And he said he had this knee problem. Like his knee just went sideways. And I'm like, first thought, golf? Like, where are we at? Can you get around? So I'm pumped to hear about it.
Oh my God. He hasn't changed it. It doesn't hurt that much. It doesn't hurt at all when he swings. It just balloons at the end and swells up at the end, but that's about it.
Deal with it.
Take a cart and, you know, call it a day. Taking a cart's worth it, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it was good. I shot a personal best round. Humbly, I say it was an absolute delight. But I knew it. I knew it coming down too. So that when I was standing on the tee box at 18, that was like a no hitter. I didn't want to talk to anyone, you know, like the pitcher, you separate the pitcher from the, I didn't want to talk to anyone. My family, my other family came from the clubhouse. So we have like a gallery of my mom, dad, sister and all that. They're like cheering us on and stuff like that just for fun. They have no idea what's going on. People I was playing with had no idea what my score was, but I knew. And I don't know if I would rather know or whatever, but anyway, personal best round. It was good and absolute pleasure.
Did you par that last hole?
I did.
Wow, that's
are you. Are you going to tell us what the personal best is, or am I just going to like?
Brennan's over here missing a 4-footer
for a 79, and I got you over here talking about personal best.
Rubbing it right back in your face. I sunk that 4-footer for par, Brendan, and I shot a personal best.
Yeah, Wally Pipp on the pod right now. I'm just here's Brendan Wally Pipp Monroe, just right over here. Jesus Christ.
What is it? What do we got, Tim? Give us a number.
I did shoot. I shot a ball and hole 76.
Booyah.
On a par 71.
Yeah, so you're 5 over.
That is.
How many birdies?
One birdie.
The Grint doesn't freaking show you the scorecard, so I couldn't pull it up. So
one
I
birdie.
Made one birdie. So you made how many pars?
It was a 38-38.
What'd you do well? Did you drive it well?
It was mentally, I was just strong. There was no point in me where I didn't think I could get up and down for par or just short game. Short game was good. Short game was good. Putting made a lot of Louis Oosthuizens from just 5-6 footers, just testers.
Did Brian like say, Timmy, you got it going? Like, did anybody really?
He said it on the 8th hole. He said, Tim, you're playing well. And I said, thank you for saying that. Shoot, because we always like think about
right.
We jinx yeah. each other, you know. Luckily,
it's the old no hitter. It's the old no hitter.
Right. But he said it early enough where it wasn't a factor. But it was a nice course. I would highly recommend it. We got to play it.
No double bogeys, Tim.
No double bogeys.
Yep, double off the card.
What a lucky man.
Let's go, baby.
No doubles. Drove the green on one. It was a 300 and something. Somehow poked it in there. Putt for an eagle. I lipped out for eagle, made the bird. No one knew it was for eagle. Brian's like, was that for bird? I said, that was for eagle. And he's like, holy shit. But like, we were so focused on like making it right. an enjoyable time. And
yeah, of course.
You know, for the girlfriends, and it was an absolute delight. So,
that's cool.
So it was a good weekend in golf. Mike, did you play?
That'll never be forgotten. I did play. I played on last Wednesday. So I played with my buddies on Cape Cod, drove out there Wednesday morning, played with my college buddies because we had a wedding this past weekend, hadn't seen them in a while. It was good to kind of reestablish.
Please tell me Jimmy was there.
No, I hadn't. These are other friends of Jimmy's, and by Jimmy I mean James Parody, my good college friend. But yeah, my good friend.
We call him Jimmy, but what?
No, he doesn't give a shit. Okay. But good friends from college. Brandon Miller got married, but he didn't play with us. My friend Connor Tierney, Sean Martin, and Mike O'Day. Nice little foursome. So I actually shot up there Tuesday afternoon, played 9. Just kind of, we knew we had a big day ahead of us on Wednesday. We played the captain's course, port and starboard in Brewster. So it's a nice place. Didn't play great, but had a lot of fun. Played 36.
Wow.
Got done with 18. Checking the work phone, making sure everything's kind of in the clear. Hopefully, my agency is okay with me taking a nice little pre-wedding golf trip to see some college buddies and hang out and have some fun, and had some good times, good laughs, played 36 holes. Everything was cool and work. So I had a reffing commitment later that night, so it was just hilarious. I was scrambling. So I kid you not, like I played pretty bad. Shot an 88, I think, on the first 18, and shot like an 88 on the second 18.
Wow.
But shot a 39 on the from 18 to 27. So on the opening 9, I had 2 drinks at lunch. We had a nice lunch, 2 drinks, and like feeling good, like pretty, like obviously new 18, new mindset. And then, but I had like this refereeing obligation that I had to tend to. So like my mind was kind of elsewhere. So I was trying to get a fill in, someone to cover me. It was like hanging over my head. And I was kind of like playing like, all right, I'm probably going to go home. So let's like really try and dial in. Like I got to figure this out for work and reffing, but might only get to play 9 here. Little do you know, someone picks up my shift. I can play 18. I shoot a 49 on the back. Oh. 49 for a nice 88. Lose focus, what have you. Make excuses. Totally sucked. Played today, though. And I honestly played at Ledgemont a couple days ago and played with an old-timer who used to be a coach at Barrington High School. Got taught by Billy Harmon, Butch's brother. So he knows what he's talking about, and he was giving me some tips about my shoulder and getting my chin up and getting my left shoulder back on the take back. He says, if you have a good backswing, it's impossible to hit a bad shot. So I didn't incorporate in that round well at all. Like I was way left, way like couldn't hit the ball straight at all when he was telling me this shit. And then I go out there today and it wasn't even my shoulder, but it was kind of my loading up on my right leg, like just getting that, like pretty much I'm just kind of rocking back and just getting all my weight on my right side.
Mm-hmm.
And then pushing off my right to kind of, and a couple, couple shots that I just hit so straight and so crisp. I'm like, man, there's something here. So I got to keep working.
Yeah. I think it's that for everyone too. When you find out what it like, you know what I mean? When you just get like a little bit of a tip, like for me, at least like playing today, it was like, okay, like I've got, like I need to go from a normal grip to a strong grip, because if I don't go, you know what I mean? If I don't hit the strong grip, like it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, no,
they're totally right. Little tips help. And sometimes it is said in a way where he's trying to get you to do something like the shoulder thing. Like I'm still like totally effed up by it, but it was all to get me on my back, like right side. And there's different ways to get there, you know? And, yeah, but my sand game, like I'm really trying to find out how to play out of the sand. Cause I mean, it's tough and I go at it so hard and the ball goes so far and I'm like 5 yards from the pin, like greenside bunker. Like I don't need to swing that hard, but I don't trust myself when I don't. So it's that balance there. And then putting has been miserable too. Just can't make any putt. So it's just a whirlwind, but it's a grind that I love. And here we are.
The worst part was about today too, guys. I will say like my putting until the last hole was on point. And then I missed. I was hitting everything within 5 feet. I was hitting like, I was like par, like every par putt I was hitting it. I was doing great. And then.
Golf is very fun. Stand over a putt and feel at least semi-confident. Isn't
it? The goddamn yips. Just the absolute yips.
Just one stroke. It's just one stroke. It's okay.
I know, but I haven't broken 80. And I think it's been 7 years or 8 years like that. And that was when I was playing like every week. So that's like, you know, something I definitely want to get back to, but
7 pars in a row is hard as hell, man. I mean, that
I know. And there was no birdies. That was just the worst part too. I almost drove the green on 11 at Pawtucket, you know, like the 200
roadside. Is that the roadside? Yep. Oh, that's yes. Yeah, that's a good lefty hole. That's a good lefty hole.
Went right into the bunker, though. I came up so I friggin' hit the front lip of the bunker. If it would have gone a yard farther, it would have hit the rough and probably bounced, not onto the green, but would have been, like, close.
If I'm a member there, Micheletti's has one golf ball every day in their parking lot. I'm going to hit whatever I hit off the tee there. It's probably going to be blocked right. And you don't want to be left there, right?
No, you don't want to be, I mean, left is fine, but you definitely can't go right.
You're on the road, baby. Left
is also not good. No, like, it's just a hard hole. Like, it's a hard, short par.
Short, hard. Yeah. And if you're a lefty, you can hit that little cut. But if you're a righty, you got to hit a draw. So it's, I don't know. You
can hit a draw.
Golf, man. Golf talk. Hell yeah. It's been a great one here.
Oh, of course. And we still got one more segment.
We do.
If he's ready for it.
Timmy's such a humble kid. I mean, kid shoots a 76 and me and Brennan are talking about our friggin' rounds.
I know, right?
Yeah. Classic, classic. Timmy, but I'm so happy for you. I called you right when I saw that on the grin. I know you were probably busy and then you called me back and I was busy. And then we finally hear about it today for the first time. That is such a good feeling. You're never going to forget that. And you can do better than that. Imagine
that. That's what I mean. I don't want it to be my best round.
It won't be.
Love the question. Do you think you've ever shot your best round? I always want to answer no.
No, definitely not. But what's this question? Because it ain't that. And my tummy's growling.
Mikey segments back in the game.
All right. So we got a golfer poll right here. We got a golfer poll. I wanted to do something with the putting situation with John Rahm. But I was thinking about this when we were talking about, I thought about this before. So if you were on the PGA tour and you got scheduled, you know how on the first 2 days they have you paired with the same group and you have you one round is in the morning and one round is in the afternoon. So say your morning round was on Thursday, your Friday round is in the afternoon. They kind of flip flop the 18s. What would be more ideal for you? Would you rather start on Thursday with a morning round or start on Thursday with an afternoon round followed by a Friday morning round and, or vice versa. Do you know what I mean by that?
What's the weather like?
That's what I mean. You don't know. And then think about it as far as like sleep and preparation and all that.
Right. Golf courses are usually softer in the morning, easier to play.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather make it harder for myself sooner and easier for myself later. So I would choose Thursday after if again, in a vacuum, like you see it all the time. Groupings get screwed because they catch bad weather both days and the other guys get, you know what I mean? But, yeah, give me the late round tee time Thursday. I'll go out there and shoot a plus 25. Then I'll come in there, Friday morning and try and dial in an 85, a 15 over or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? But I'm going to choose taking the harder route right away. And I'm probably not going to get much sleep the night before, regardless, no matter what the tee time. Might get a better chance of catching a nap if I got an afternoon tee time on Thursday. So come in there nice and rested. Brendan, are you going to contrarian me or what?
No, I'm actually completely with you. I'm going Thursday afternoon, Friday morning. And because every time you see it in major championships, it is very heavily tilted. Especially in like weird, I would say like Kiowa this year was pretty heavily tilted into guys that made the cut went off Thursday afternoon.
Are you Friday. Frozen?
No, I'm not.
What's going on?
Can you not hear me?
Nope, now I can. We're back. My internet connection is unstable, though. Let's go Excellent. To the iPhone.
Excellent. I was saying I go Thursday afternoon, Friday morning. It seems like in every major, there's more guys make the cut that go Thursday afternoon and Friday morning.
That's good to know. Okay.
I don't know, but good question.
Just something real quick. You know, we made this one long.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Hell yeah. This one was a great one. Rombo for the win and Timmy for the win. I mean, let's roll it into next week and I'll see you guys after the Travelers. I mean, some good golf, like we were talking about, fun little course and some good guys out there.
Absolutely. And finally, we can't end without saying this. This is the last podcast that we will have without Mikey being a married man.
That's right, baby. Mikey's getting married this weekend.
Plunge Saturday. Big plunge.
Gonna have a hell of a time. Gonna have a hell of a time. We are looking forward to it. Brendan, when are you coming up?
Friday night.
Friday night? Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be there. I'll be there Friday night for the party. And then yeah, we'll see where it goes, man. It's going to be great. I'm excited.
Love it.
Ready to put my, I haven't put a suit on in like 2 years. So this is going to be, I haven't put a suit on since Billy's wedding, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, we'll see how it turns out. I mean, things, a lot can happen in a year's time. I mean, how long ago was that? More than that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's 2 years. It's over 2 years now.
2 years. Whoa.
Geez. Yeah. Cause yep.
Your pants might fall off. I mean,
I know, seriously.
I did the same thing, and you tug on the waist, and you're like, thank God I got a belt.
Oh yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, so we're all looking forward to that. RIP that dance floor, because I'm gonna be out there, and certainly gonna people are gonna see me in a different light after that dance floor. So I'm very excited for it.
Can't wait, man. I can't wait.
But bring for everyone else out there, get on out there this weekend. Let it fly. Have a great time. Go out there and play some golf, baby.
Let's get this kid married. But in the meantime, let's play better.
Love it.
Play better.
Church bells coming from Mikey. Let's go.
Hold it.